लोकानामहितकारिणो द्विभुवने मान्यस्य कृष्ण परावृन्द भजना कान्दे Karam Ashesha Mandala Pati Shreem Sada Kuchala Shamantarapati Shreni Sada Suchala राधा कृष्ण महर्नि संप्रभजत जीवरथ गाय मघ वंदे रूप सनातन
Thank you.
So we should all think that today is a very special day, and this is a day for us to meditate on the Goswamis and meditate on the purpose of our practice of Krishna consciousness. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis. Sri Rupa, Sri Sanatan, Sri Raghunath Bhatta, Sri Raghunath Das, Sri Jiva, and Sri Gopal Bhatta. They are always engaged in chanting the holy name of Krishna and in dancing. They are just like the ocean of love of God, and they are popular both with the gentle and with the ruffians. That's good for us, no? Because they are non-envious. They are not envious of anyone. Whatever they do, they are all pleasing to everyone. And they are fully blessed by Lord Chaitanya. Thus they are engaged in missionary activities meant to deliver all the conditioned souls in the material universe. They are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures, with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of, because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. They are very much enriched in understanding of Lord Chaitanya and are thus expert in narrating his transcendental qualities. They can purify all conditioned souls from the reactions of their sinful activities by pouring upon them transcendental songs about Govinda. As such, they are very expert in increasing the limits of the ocean of transcendental bliss, and they are the saviors of the living entities from the devouring mouth of liberation. They have kicked off all association of aristocracy as insignificant. See where they live. Today we are getting a taste of Goswami life. That's Goswami life. Except the amount of prasadam we ate for lunch. Okay. Who knows, the Goswamis were not fools. They were eating in a different way. We know of the story of Raghunath Das. He was very sick. His stomach was upset. So they called the doctor. And the doctor said, it's an indigestion. But everyone said, come on, doctor, you're bogus. It can't be an indigestion. Raghunath eats only one cup. You know these leaf plates we had for lunch? One leaf cup of buttermilk. How can you get an indigestion with that? So they told Raghunath, the doctor says, you have an indigestion. You have all the symptoms. And Raghunath then looked down. He said, that's true. Last night, when I was doing my meditation, I was remembering the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the Kunjas. And I entered the pastimes, and there was such a feast. And I ate so much sweet rice. So, and we know other stories like this, even in the Nectar of Devotion. Srila Prabhupada tells the story of that man who's from South India who was cooking, he was doing all his deity worship in meditation. Manasa Puja. And he was cooking sweet rice. And then he wanted to offer it, but he thought, I think I just finished cooking it now, it must be too hot. So he kind of put his finger to test the heat, the temperature of the sweet rice, and he felt a burn. And again he thought, what? He woke up from his meditation and he thought, what's happening? Then he looked at his finger, it was red. So this is what happens to the great soul. So who knows what feast we ate? Yes. But they used to live like this, you see. Vrindavan was like this. Ter Kadamba is still isolated. So Vrindavan was like this. Even more than this, because there were not so many cultivated lands. When the gopis, when the Goswamis came to Vrindavan, there was mostly jungle and jungly people. They were living, picking fruit and things. And very few Vaishyas were there who were cultivating the land, only some villages. So it was like this. They would take the water from the kunds. They would use the water from the kunds. And they would make fire, or no fire, it depends, because some renunciates, they don't even touch the fire. But the Vaishnav renunciates do, because they cook for Krishna. So they would just cook some simple, whatever they would get, little milk from the cow somewhere. They would boil the milk and put some flour inside, or if they would get some rice, and they would eat that. And sometimes when there was nothing like this to cook, what they would do to get the hunger away, they would just take some mud on the bank of the Yamuna and mix it with little water, you know, the clay, the tea-like, with little water and whoop, whoop, two, three balls. And then they would chant again, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. That's why they said, oh Krishna, where are you? They were absorbed in the mood of the gopis. So this is what it says here. They kicked off all association of aristocracy, because before coming here, they were very rich. They were living in Bengal. They had huge palaces. They were working for the Hussein Shah, the governor of Bengal. He was a very rich man, naturally. And he was very pleased. They were governing the province on his behalf. And he was very pleased with them. And he had given them so many riches. They had huge mansions, huge gardens. But what they had done with these huge mansions, they had just built temples. And they had built gardens as replicas, like copies of Vrindavan. And in those gardens, they used to invite so many Vaishnavas, and they would have Krishna Katha. So that's what they were doing, even when they were rich. But then they gave up all this to come here. And they came here and they took up the life of mendicants. In order to deliver the poor conditioned souls, they accepted loincloth. You know, loincloth? Very rough, like kadi type of thing. Very rough cloth. Treating themselves as mendicants. But they are always merged in the ecstatic ocean of the gopis' love for Krishna and bathe always and repeatedly in the waves of that ocean. They were always engaged in worshipping Radha Krishna in the transcendental land of Vrindavan, where there are beautiful trees. Have you seen the beautiful trees? Full of fruits and flowers. If you go around, you will see the natural kunjas. And wait, I think you haven't done all your study of the place. There are beautiful trees which have under their roots all valuable jewels. The Goswamis are perfectly competent to bestow upon living entities the greatest boon of the goal of life. So listen to this sentence. This is a very nice sentence. The Goswamis are perfectly competent to bestow upon the living entities the greatest boon of the goal of life. So we must pray to the Goswamis in our life as devotees. There are different things we do in Krishna consciousness. Of course, we engage ourselves always in some practical service. And we read the Shastra, we study. But a very important part of Krishna consciousness is to pray and to beg for the mercy of Krishna and of the previous acharyas, and especially of the six Goswamis. They were engaged in chanting the holy names of the Lord and bowing down in a scheduled measurement. In other words, they were very disciplined. In this way, they utilized their valuable lives, and in executing these devotional activities, they conquered over eating and sleeping and were always meek and humble, enchanted by remembering the transcendental qualities of the Lord. So why they could be humble? Because within themselves they were always thinking, they were in a different world, they were always thinking of Krishna. So if somebody pushes them around, it doesn't bother them. Doesn't bother them because they have something, they are busy somewhere else. They have some other business. So you push, you whatever, things happen. But inside, there should be always a meditation. Mama smara yudhyasva, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. You fight and remember me. So that is the life of the Goswami. Inside, always thinking of Krishna. They were sometimes on the bank of Radhakund or on the shores of the Yamuna, and sometimes at Vamsivat. There they appeared just like madmen in the full ecstasy of love for Krishna, exhibiting different transcendental symptoms in their bodies, and they were merged in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. They were chanting very loudly everywhere in Vrindavan, shouting, Queen of Vrindavan, Hey Radhe, Hey Lalite, O son of Maharaj Nanda, where are you all now? Are you just on the hill of Govardhan? Or are you under the trees on the bank of the Yamuna? Where are you? These were their moods in executing Krishna consciousness. All right. So we will continue with some other remembrance. I think we'll be singing Ye Anilo Prema Dama. Yes? It's in the leaves, in the green part, and that is poison. Let me give you the whole picture. This tree is a poisonous tree, okay? When you cut the green stick, the stem. When you cut the green stem, you get a whitish milk. That's for the flies. So you remove the whole green part and you press the yellow part of the flower and you will get honey. So the bees, what they do is they go inside the flower and they pierce a hole inside. And they suck the honey, right? And they get intoxicated. So Rupa Goswami says, let my mind be like a bee. And let that bee go to the best of all flowers. So what is the best of all flowers? The lotus. And Krishna's feet are compared to two beautiful lotuses. So it says, just as the bees are intoxicated and always seek the association of the lotuses, and they go inside the lotuses and they just stay there and they drink the honey. So in the same way, let my mind always go in the direction of Krishna's remembrance, and especially of the remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet. So it's a very beautiful prayer. And it's also a prayer which is connected with this mood of hopelessness that we spoke on the bus, you remember? Asha means hope. And this is, he says, I have actually, although Brahma in his samadhi, you know, when there is trouble in the universe, Lord Brahma, he goes in samadhi on the bank of Shetaji there. Or even at the beginning of creation, he goes in samadhi. So when Lord Brahma goes in samadhi, he's trying to see the Lord, but he doesn't see him. He only hears a message from the Lord. So he says, even though the great Brahma is the first of the living entities, who am I? Even he, in his samadhi, he cannot obtain a glimpse of even a ray of the tips of the nails of your feet. So in other words, it's hopeless. If the head of the universe, in his own samadhi, imagine how such a powerful samadhi he must have, and he cannot see the lotus feet of Krishna, so what hope is there for me? Yet, he says, yet, still, O Achyuta, I have heard of the ways of your astonishing mercy. I have heard how merciful you are. And because of that quality of yours, your mercy, in my heart, there is hope that I can see you sometime. So, let me see. This verse, you will be interested to know, that Srila Prabhupada gave the whole translation of this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam in one of his purports. It's in a verse from the first canto, and the verse goes like this. Chiyo nivaso yasyurya panapatram mukham drisham bahavo lokapalanam saranganam padambujam. This is a description of Krishna. The Lord's chest is the abode of the goddess of fortune. His moon-like face is the drinking vessel for eyes which hanker after all that is beautiful. His arms are the resting places for the administrative demigods, and his lotus feet are the refuge of pure devotees who never talk or sing of any subject except his lordship. Then Srila Prabhupada has a beautiful purport on this verse, and in the end of the purport he explains, the essence of everything is the Supreme Lord. He is called the Saram. Do you hear that somewhere here? Saram. Amrita Saram. He is the Saram. And those who sing and talk about him are called the Sarangas, or the pure devotees. The pure devotees are always hankering after the lotus feet of the Lord. The lotus has a kind of honey, which is transcendentally relished by the devotees. They are like the bees who are always after the honey. Srila Rupa Goswami the great devotee Acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, has sung a song about this lotus honey, comparing himself to the bee. Then Srila Prabhupada gives his own translation of this verse. Prabhupada said, "O my Lord Krishna, I beg to offer my prayers unto you. My mind is like the bee, and it is after some honey. Kindly, therefore, give my bee mind a place at your lotus feet, which are the resources for all transcendental honey. I know that even big demigods like Brahma do not see the rays of the nails of your lotus feet, even though they are engaged in deep meditation for years together. Still, O infallible one, my ambition is such, for you are very merciful to your surrendered devotees. O Madhava, I know also that I have no genuine devotion for the service of your lotus feet. But because your lordship is inconceivably powerful, you can do what is impossible to be done. Your lotus feet can deride even the nectar of the heavenly kingdom, and therefore I am very much attracted by them. O Supreme Eternal, please therefore let my mind be fixed at your lotus feet, so that eternally I may be able to relish the taste of your transcendental service." Prabhupada adds, "The devotees are satisfied with being placed at the lotus feet of the Lord and have no ambition to see his all beautiful face or aspire for the protection of the strong arms of the Lord. They are humble by nature, and the Lord is always leaning towards such humble devotees." So this is the image of the devotees are sitting next to the lotus feet of the Lord. They do not aspire to get his protection even, or by his arms he can protect. They don't aspire for that. They do not even aspire to see, to be next to his face or see his face. We have the story, you know, in the Mahabharata, when Arjuna and Duryodhana had gone to see Krishna in Dwarka, that they wanted his help before the battle of Kurukshetra. And Duryodhana, what did he think? Yeah, Krishna was sleeping on the bed, on the couch. So Duryodhana think, "Let me go first." And he sat right next to Krishna's head, because he wanted to be next to the head so that he could speak to him when he wakes up and tell him, "I'm here. I want your army. I want you on my side. I want your army." Then Arjuna came and he quietly sat at Krishna's feet. And then when Krishna woke up, what happened? He opened his eyes and he didn't see Duryodhana. He saw Arjuna at his feet and said, "Oh, Arjuna, you are here." And Duryodhana said, "No, I'm here." So this is the nature of the devotees, which is praised here by Srila Prabhupada, that the devotees are after the honey. What is the honey? It is the service of Krishna's lotus feet. All right, now we are going to hear another work of Srila Rupa Goswami from Guru Sevananda Prabhu. This way. The Vrindavan. I will read to you what Jiva Goswami says about Rupa Goswami's poetry. Since we are hearing poetries of Rupa Goswami, this is what Jiva says. Kavyam sudharu chiharam vibhudhapi bhanto Yasyanya kavya matitikta varut srijanti Rupa sananda sutarupa gunanurupa Shastam prashastam asakrin namanir mimita. Srila Jiva says, Srila Rupa Goswami has very accurately described the form and qualities of Sri Krishna, the son of Nanda. The beauty of Rupa Goswami's poems defeats the taste of nectar. Thus, learned devotees who are accustomed to drink the nectar of Rupa Goswami's poems reject the poems of others, considering them very bitter. May the poetry of Rupa Goswami grant super excellent good fortune to us at every moment. Did you understand? This is very nice. A glorification of Rupa Goswami's poetry. So we are going to hear a couple of verses written by Srila Rupa Goswami, which will give you more ideas of how he so beautifully composes.
Virachayamayidam bhantina bandhodayanda.
I think I have to take it higher.
Virachaya mai dandam dina bandha dayamba gatirihana bhavata kachiranya mamasti nipata tushata koti nirmalam vanavambhas tadapi kila payodhastu yate chatakena.
So this is a very famous verse. It's a verse about the chataka bird. Did you hear about the chataka bird? Who heard about the chataka bird? Two, three people have heard, yes? The chataka bird is a very special bird. What is the speciality? Only drinks rain water. Imagine? The chataka bird never drinks water that flows in the rivers. He doesn't even drink the rainwater after it has fallen on the ground. It's a very aristocratic bird. So the chataka bird, he flies in the air with his beak open. And he tries to catch the rain drops as they fall from the cloud. So you can very well imagine, who is God for the chataka bird? Huh? Who is God? Krishna? The cloud, yes. For the chataka bird, the source of life, the Lord, that is the cloud. And particularly the rain cloud like we have today. The dark rain clouds full of water. So for the chataka bird, this is the hope of life. And sometimes rain doesn't come for many months altogether. No mercy, no rain. So the chataka bird becomes so thirsty. His whole body dries up, but he will not drink water anywhere. He only looks at the sky and cries. He cries and looks at in the direction of the sky. And he waits. He looks in the east. He looks in the west, in the north, in the south. until one day he sees the clouds coming. So when he sees the clouds coming, he becomes very joyful and he flies into the air with whatever strength remains in his wings. He flies in the air and he flies higher and higher and higher. And the cloud begins pouring rain. But sometimes, like you hear now, the cloud also makes sound. And sometimes, along with the rain, the cloud sends thunderbolts. And for the Chataka bird, it becomes a very dangerous affair. Sometimes the cloud sends rain, which gives him life. And sometimes the cloud sends thunderbolt. And if he's touched by a thunderbolt, then his whole body is filled with pain. So much pain that sometimes he dies. But still, the Chataka bird has only one God, and that is the cloud. So this beautiful poetry says, the Chataka bird subsists on rain. It catches in mid-air. And so it's always praying to the cloud to send the rain. Yet, though the cloud may send a thunderbolt instead of rain, that bird continues praying fervently despite the pain. Just like the Chataka, I have fixed my mind upon one goal, and that is you, O Lord, most kind to every fallen soul. So whether it is punishment you give or mercy sweet, I'll always pray to you for service to your lotus feet. O Lord of the poor, do what you like with me. Give me either mercy or punishment. But in this world, I have none to look to except your lordship. The Chataka bird always prays for the cloud, regardless of whether it showers rains or throws a thunderbolt. So this is a declaration of fidelity, loyalty, adherence to Krishna's lotus feet. Sometimes in our devotional life, we get such sweet mercy. And at other times, we get such bitter experiences. But we should understand both to be coming from the same source, which is the source of our life. And we should understand that it's all Krishna's mercy. Sometimes sweet to us, sometimes bitter to us. But it is the same from his side. It is his mercy and it is his love. So we should continue to hope and pray for his mercy. I'll read another verse. Did you like the Chataka bird's verse?
Apis paramode Pratipada Sudha Koti Madhure Purana Gramanta Vahatitavani Larasa Jare Manovatsa Patum Vishaya Vishagate Vishatime Kripayashtya Turna Damayata Mamuntara Kapate.
This time Rupa Goswami compares his mind to a calf. A cow's baby. He compares his mind to a calf. So what's happening with the calf? Well, there was a horde of calves. You know, Krishna is Taranakapate. He is the one who is herding the calves. So Krishna was herding the calves. And one small calf, he took all the calves to drink in the river. But there was one stupid calf. What did he do? Instead of going to the river, he started he started going off track in the fields in search of water. And he was walking and walking and going astray away from the other calves. He was walking, walking, walking in the fields. And what happened is that he fell into a ditch. He came and there was a hole, and at the bottom of the hole he saw some reflection of water, and he came closer and closer, and he looked inside and he fell inside. So Rupa Goswami compares this calf to his mind. And he compares the river to the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Puranas. And he says, just as this stupid calf has gone astray, instead of drinking in the river, he has gone to try to drink in a well in the field, and he fell inside the well, and now he's suffering, desperate, alone. Similarly, although the very sweet nectar stream of your transcendental pastimes swiftly flows through the Puranas, the calf of my mind has now entered a ditch to drink the poison of material sense happiness. Instead of reading Srimad Bhagavatam and hearing about Krishna, our mind prefers to hear mundane stories. So now here comes the prayer. O Lord of the calves, this is the prayer. O Lord of my mind, O Lord of the calves, please curb this stupid calf, just like you bring back the calves with your stick. Please, take the stick of your mercy and bring back my mind. So this is this very beautiful prayer here. Please bring back the stick, with the stick of your mercy, bring back my mind. Okay, we will hear one more verse. This is quite a famous verse. This one is a verse that, if you hear very well, it's a verse using what is called honomatopy. You know honomatopy? These are words that sound like the actual thing that the word describes. Like when there is an explosion, we call it a boom or a bang. And that boom, bang, it's kind of the sound that it makes, right? So Krishna is speaking of the humming of the bees. What is the sound of the humming of the bees? Din, 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 Urasi parispura dindira mindindira mandira sajulasitam. Urasi parispura dindira mindindira mandira sajulasitam. Hari Mangala Ti Mangala Mangala Satchandana Mandi. Hari Mangala Ti Mangala Mangala Satchandana Mandi. Urasi Parispura Dindira Mindindira Mandira Srajalasita. Urasi parispura dindira mindindira mandira srajalasita. So this is describing Krishna, who is walking in the forest with a beautiful garland of forest flowers. And he is followed by the bees. And the bees have become mad. Why have the bees become mad? Because of the aroma. There is such an aroma around Krishna. They smell, you know, the bees have a very developed sense of smell. That's how they locate the flowers. So they smell this aroma. It smells so good. So they come around, and here is Krishna walking. And Krishna has a garland like this, which is moving as he's walking. His garland is moving around his neck. And the bees come close, and they are so bewildered. They come and they understand these are flowers. So they come and they hum about the flowers. And they close their eyes of intoxication. And they make this flower garland their temple. This is the temple of the bees. The garland of Krishna. It's the temple of the bees. And they come and they hum inside here. Urasi paristura dindira mindindira mandira srajullasitam. And while they hum there, they have only one doubt. They cannot understand whether the aroma is coming from the flowers or is actually coming from the chest of the Lord. Because his body is all fragrant. Urasi parispura dindira mindindira mandira srajullasitam. Hari mangala di mangala mangala sachandanam bande. And Krishna is not alone. As he walks across the forest, Krishna is surrounded by the gopis. And the gopis are just beautiful. How beautiful they are? They are just as beautiful as each and every limb of Krishna's body. And in fact, the gopis are none different from the limbs of Sri Krishna. Krishna exists, he's one without a second. But for his transcendental enjoyment, he manifests so many gopis. And these gopis are just like his limbs. And just like as the limbs of the body move simply in response to the body's demands and needs and desires, similarly, the gopis move in harmony with Krishna's desires. Very good, says the peacock. Okay. So, I understand that everyone is learning life transcendental in the forest. Very soon we shall be relieved. Very soon we shall be relieved from the heat of the top floor of the Bhajan Kutir. And we shall go downstairs, braving the clouds. And before we go, we will sing the glories of the holy name. Jiya Nam Murare, Jiya Nam Murare, Prema Marandasya Navya Maravinda, Prema Marandasya Navya Maravinda, Bhavati Yadha Bhaso Piswati Jalam, Mukti Muktaya. Bhavati yada bhaso viswati jalam mukti muktaya. All glories to the holy name of Krishna, the enemy of Lord Murari. This name is a blooming lotus with ambrosian nectar flowing. The soothing balm of love of God to cure all pain and woe. Just the dim reflection of that name, even slightly glowing, is like a drop of purest rain that falls within an oyster's shell and brings about the pearl of liberation from this earthly hell. All right, so let us go downstairs. So downstairs are waiting for us again at the Kunjas, unless I hear something. So downstairs, in case there is the rain happens, then we will retract into the Bhajan Kutir downstairs. We will not come back here.